3 with the correct amount.
Welcome to Under Fire Radio. Radio. Hi, welcome to Under Fire Radio. I'm Berserk.
And this is Shada.
And I'm Murdoch.
Yeah.
All right. Reporting live from 95th and Mission in Riverwind Park, Kansas.
Yeah, as you can hear, we got Murdoch on the show, the freak that everybody loves to hate, a.k.a. that noob guy. We're going to be interviewing him and letting you get a little more pissed off at him. I'm sure he's going to cause some trouble, call a couple people noobs. So, let's go ahead and get this on underway. I want to start asking him some questions. To start it out, first off, yeah, you are the noob guy, Murdoch.
I suppose. All the kids seem to know me from the PLA board, so, you know. That's all the placating of my ego that I need.
Yeah. The very first time I talked to you, that was not a good
Well, you were talking about a simple plan. I mean, I can't let that go.
I'm sorry, man. I mean...
It's okay. I mean, I like my share of shitty bands, but...
I've changed since then. You changed me.
I'm glad.
I don't want to know how Murdoch changed you.
Let's just say, 12 hours. It was like a John Draper massage thing, if you've ever heard of that.
Well, I do know about 2 days ago, he was all like, Shada, I think I'm in love. I can't stop staring at your eyes.
Dude, I was high. Leave me alone, okay?
I know you were drunk.
Right, let's not talk about that.
He wants the top hat. Alright, let's cut to the chase. Why did you get kicked out of Freaknik?
Why did I get kicked out of Freaknik? Allegedly, they said I was redirecting phone lines, I think. That's what they said.
And what I had heard is supposedly, it was something to do with RBCP, and you guys...
They asked me about RBCP, and I gave him, like, his real name and, like, what town he lived in.
Doc Dropper?
I know I'm a Doc Dropper, dude. I was fucking interviewed by the police. I know I should have kept quiet, but he didn't mind.
All right. Have you heard anything from the Nashville PD or the FBI or anything since then?
No, but for the first few days, I was just expecting the cops to knock on my door, getting ready to you know, extradite me back down to Nashville or something, you know. But it's been, 2 months almost, going on 2.5? Nothing. But, you know, now that we're talking about it, I'm sure they're going to come knocking on my door tomorrow.
Yeah. All right, so a lot of people have asked this. I've heard this mentioned on other radio shows. What's the deal with the noob thing at Freaknik?
Oh, Lucky 225, fucking there. And he said he got me saying that. Him and fucking Ned is running around downtown Nashville on Thursday, the day before the con. Oh man, this is so fucking noob. Fucking you're such a clooby. And I was like, yeah, fuck it. I'll just start saying that a lot. I know, I'm dumb.
All right, so you've blamed all this on being drunk. Just
dude, you have no clue how much I drank.
That's why I'm asking.
Okay, I started off at 11 o'clock, no, 1 o'clock on Saturday. Me, Johnny Christmas, Seth's brother, who I forget his name at the moment, and Johnny Christmas's girlfriend, we all went in his Saturn to the liquor store in beautiful ghetto-ass Nashville. And picked up Jack Daniel's mixers for me, which were kind of like cheerleader drinks, but that's all right, because I'm gay. And whiskey and Boone's Farm for $2. And it was just really wonderful, and I drank all those in about 2 hours. I was drunk after that and drank a couple alcoholic energy drinks. And then, visibly intoxicated, I was told to check IDs on the 9th floor. And there, people just fed me alcohol. I was given a squirt bottle filled up with almost a liter of vodka and a couple drops of orange juice. I drank all that. A few shots of 151. Sake, warm sake. More vodka, peppermint schnapps. Let's see what else.
It was just safe to say you were pretty damn drunk.
Yeah, at one point I was drinking a bottle of triple sec. Don't know why.
Vodka, for drinking.
More vodka. Let's see. Oh, gin. Some guy had gin and he was pouring me a whole bunch. At that point I couldn't taste anything, so it went down pretty easy.
Didn't taste like trees.
Right, right. I was smoking weed the whole time too.
All right. So, what was your favorite part of Freaknik?
Easily, running around Thursday night with Stank Dog, Lucky, Mattis, and Droops around downtown Nashville, and meeting Stank's sister.
Ooh.
It was really cool. And like all these women she was with for like this convention. It was pretty lit, and I got a Smirnoff Ice taken away because I used Droops' license.
He used Droop's license.
Yeah, and then I gave it back to him, and he used it, and the fucking waiter noticed. And he's like, I'm going to take this away from you now. I'm like, son of a bitch.
All right, what was your least favorite part of Freaknik, and do you plan to return next year?
Easily, least favorite part, getting kicked out by the cops. Fucking the lady and a guy, two police officers from Nashville Metro, kicked me out of Freaknik, and will I return? Probably not. I don't think I'm allowed to.
Yeah, I'm guessing you're probably not.
Fuck it. I mean, I have DEFCON to look forward to fucking that up somehow.
All right, there's been a lot of controversy around the whole you at Freaknik thing, and you being a noob and just a jackass in general.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you just want to say to the people that were there that you pissed off, or say to people in general?
I'm fucking, you get mad because I called you a noob? We're at a fucking hacker convention. Why didn't you just punch me in the face? Seriously. Do you think I actually meant shit like that? You see a drunk 18-year-old stumbling down the hall with a bottle of vodka in his hand, and he's saying, "You fucking noob!" And silly drunk speak, you know? Sometimes you gotta recognize the source of things. Me.
Yeah.
So I offer no apologies. Fuck that.
All right. Well, I think that about sums it up for our questions. Were you wanting to ask him anything, Shada?
No, I think that was about it.
All right. Well,
I mean, if you come up with more questions around, you know, any time during the show, just fucking shout it out at me.
I'm sure it's going to happen. All right, well, supposed to move on to a little bit of tech news, but unfortunately I couldn't find anything worth shit today.
Did you check the DDP? Nat has posted something about a town in Louisiana that got their phones installed.
Yeah, I saw that. All right. If people saw my post on there, I asked if they could pronounce the parish that town was in. It looks like it's in Natchitoches. I'm going to just give it away. No one ever will get it right. It's Natchitoches.
Natchitoches? I never would have gotten that.
How is it spelled? The only reason I know that is because I spent a few days in Natchitoches, Louisiana, on multiple different times, and I still called it Natchitoches while I was there just to piss people off. And they really do get pissed off about it.
Natchitoches?
All right, so for those of us who didn't see the post, how is it spelled?
I don't even remember. It's like N-A-C-H-I-O-T-C-H-E-S or some shit.
That really does look like nacho cheese.
Yeah, that's the other name that it usually gets. People in New Orleans tend to call it nacho cheese. Man, I always preferred nacho cheese. That has nothing to do with what we were talking about. But did you have any articles, Shada?
I had one tech news article, but it sucks, so I'm going to skip over it.
No, dude, what is it? I'm interested. I don't even fucking care about it.
All right, well, hold up. It's about some Google stuff. Just basically them... Ah, crap, wrong button. Them bringing out new testing stuff. Hold on, where is it at? There we go.
That fixes the Gmail that's not working for me right now. That would be why I didn't go to the emails, because they won't fucking open.
See, luckily, I have the email. Unlike you, I prepared.
Alright, well, let's go to email then.
No, wait, I got a story, goddammit.
Alright, go for it.
I'm in Overland Park, Kansas, which is, as anybody knows, is the world headquarters of Sprint. Sprint World Headquarters campus is seriously not even 10 blocks away from me now. And they're merging with Nextel. And if they do that, Nextel's world headquarters would also move to Overland Park, Kansas. And that would have a great effect on our economy. That is already doing fucking fantastic.
I thought I'd throw that out. The very first time I was in Overland Park, I was arrested literally within 5 minutes.
That happens, dude. I got pulled over twice, and
they really
I've never gotten a ticket.
There.
No, yeah. Fuck
I was, I was doing that door-to-door and magazine sales shit. Like,
no.
I didn't even get to a door. I got up like 3 steps, and there's a cop car. Like, what are you doing? I'm like, working? They're like, not in this town.
Ouch.
So, yeah, that sucked. I got like a $400 ticket and had to go sit in the jail the rest of the day.
What?
My boss got mad because I didn't work. Like, how was I supposed to sell magazines at jail?
I'd have been like, officer, can I get you a subscription to Vibe?
Oh, yeah. No, I always sold guns and gear to cops.
Oh, okay.
I love guns and gear. It's like guns and ammo for poor people because it's only like $9 a year.
Well, I gotta ask, did they offer $2,600?
No, they didn't.
Because, no, I got a story like this. Because, fifth grade, I was selling magazines door-to-door for my school. And the guy was looking through, and I was like, I bet you don't have any magazines that I want. He's like, what magazines do you want? He's like, Linux Magazine, 2600. And little did I know, I was like in fifth grade, and I was like, oh, well, I don't think they have those. And I was like, fucking, that guy lived right down the street from me, and I didn't even know. Reading the 2600 and Linux Magazine? The fuck? Man, if only I knew the shit I do now, back then.
Yeah, well, how often do we say that, though?
Nah, I know.
Yeah. That's kind of odd, though. You brought up the whole Nextel Sprint thing. I'd actually meant to write that down and talk about that, but I totally forgot about that because I think I got, like, overly drunk.
Yeah, that would make it the second largest carrier next to AT&T Singular, Nextel Sprint, and then Verizon, right?
Well, hopefully that would bring the walkie-talkie service to Sprint, too.
No, fuck walkie-talkie, man. That's okay.
I'm going with Murdoch on that one. I hate those things so much.
I just don't like the beep they make.
I hate the beep. I hate that. Every time I hear that in a public place, I just want to smash the phone.
Wait.
Because it's huge in Johnson County, man. You see these kids at the mall,
yeah.
And all you hear is this incessant chirp. You fucking kids.
See, I would end up getting an Nextel phone and then like having nobody I know that has an Nextel.
Exactly.
But
Sprint has that thing, too.
They got the coast-to-coast walkie-talkies. You can talk to anybody in America, so I would just be like, dial in whatever fucking number I feel like, start talking to someone.
No, but see, the thing is with the walkie-talkie is that more and more carriers are starting to offer it that, what was it, something mobile, that something supposed to be urban. Oh, what's it called? It's like a prepaid service. You know what I'm talking about, those commercials? Where it's like, something mobile, fucking... I'm trying to remember the name.
I do know Verizon has a service like that.
So does Sprint.
I remember when they were coming out with it, they said it had something like a 4 to 8 second delay on it.
Yeah.
Which, that's pretty fucking weak.
I know that that Sprint's delay is at least a second or two.
I think Sprint
has a
pretty shit phone service in general.
Yeah, Sprint sucks.
Yeah, I just...
I'll go down to the fucking corporate headquarters and spray paint it on the wall or something.
See, I've seen the Sprint buildings there, but I never realized that was actually the headquarters.
Oh, man, it's a fucking college campus-sized place.
I do know that pretty much all the phone books there are put out by Sprint.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of odd. I've never lived anywhere where Sprint was, like, the main phone company.
Well, Sprint's the main phone company out west, a lot of places. Las Vegas.
They took over for, I believe, GTE.
Yeah, in some places. Verizon took over GTE in some places, too.
Yeah.
But Las Vegas, I know because Strom Carlson said, you know, a lot of Sprint. Yeah.
All right, well, let's move on. Do we have any wacky news from the web?
We do.
All right,
let's see here. This is an article that I got from FARC. It's called High School Senior Drinks Himself to Death. Nick Trout, 18, was brought to his home on December 3rd, passed out from drinking too much whiskey. One of his friends helped Trout's mother carry the Florence High School senior inside. I went and got him a blanket, Tamara Trout said. He slept on the floor outside her bedroom. She checked on him the next morning and found no pulse. They dialed 911, but it was too late.
Oh. He was gone, Tamara Trout said. Fremont County Coroner Dorothy Twelman said Nick Trout's blood alcohol content was 0.263, but had been as high as 0.404. In Colorado, the legal limit for driving under the influence is 0.08. On the night he died, Nick Trout had been to two parties, including one where the coroner said a 30-year-old man allegedly provided alcohol. Florence Police Sergeant Sean Humphrey said the case had been forwarded to the district attorney's office for consideration of charges. At least three Colorado college students have died of alcohol poisoning this summer. Nick Trout had been to the naval recruiter in Cannon City the day he died, and he wanted to be a biochemical engineer serving in the Navy. His mother said she wants other youth to attend Saturday's funeral in Florence. I don't know if it's shock treatment or not, but I want to see them. She said.
Man, that's just bullshit. That's somebody who can't handle their liquor.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've drank since I was like 15, and I've been to parties where I've been binge drinking. And you just gotta have somebody watching over you, making sure that you're not gonna fucking pass out and die. That's just people who aren't your friends. They leave you there in a fucking hallway with a blanket over you, probably on your back, taking asphyxia on the vomit.
Man,
that's just bullshit. And you know, if you drink that much, you know, which you're stupid to begin with, man. If you're drinking to your blood alcohol is like 4.0, you know, maybe that's somebody who deserves to die. I know it's like callous and mean and shit, but fuck them.
I heard something earlier today. I'm trying to look it up right now, but there's someone, a lady in Indiana, I guess, the night before Thanksgiving, she was really, really drunk and wandered into the wrong house thinking it was hers. When she couldn't find her bed, she decided to pass out on the table. Before doing this, she made sure to pull her pants and underwear down to her ankles and then fall asleep on the table. I guess the people's nephew came out about 2 hours later and saw her and freaked out, so they called the cops. The cops came and they couldn't wake up. She would not wake up at all. And they kept trying to convince her to put her pants on, but she refused to. So she just laid there drunk, not waking up, and wouldn't put her pants on.
What?
They gave her a felony for entering a residence. It wasn't breaking and entering anything like that, but it was entering a residence. And I guess that can carry from 6 months to 3 years or a $10,000 fine.
Yeah.
And I guess she actually served some jail time on it and is waiting for trial. I couldn't imagine passing out on someone else's table with my pants off. Like, I could imagine passing out on someone else's table, but I'd probably leave my pants on.
Yeah, but when you're drunk, you never know what you're going to do.
Yeah, but still, I mean, going in the wrong house is one thing. Like, first off, why the fuck were these people's doors locked?
They might have been, like, Canadians.
There was an Indiana.
I know, but, you know, transplant. but in subdivisions and shit, where every house looks the same.
Yeah.
Like, I've been drunk out of my mind at my friend's house and wandered onto the lawn and fucking sat down and, like, fucking kind of chilled, almost passed out. My friend came up to me and says, "Hey, real name here, why are you on that guy's lawn?" I said, "Oh, this isn't your house?" "No, my house is four houses down. What are you doing?" You know, things like that. But I didn't go into the guy's house.
Yeah, she stumbled in there and passed out on the table. I thought that was pretty fucked up.
It was, like, late at night. Why, you know, why aren't their doors locked? That's their fault.
Yeah. A lot of people are like, "Oh, I don't want to have to lock my door. That makes me feel like I live in a bad neighborhood."
But well, I didn't lock my door as I went out the house today, so that says something.
It's like noon.
Yeah, but, yeah, I guess. Kids are in school, so I don't really care.
All right, well, let's move on here. I was going to work on a section for freaking here, but I'm a lazy bastard, so I just wrote and answer some freaking frequently asked questions.
Awesome.
I got one the other day from a kid. He was freaked out. He's like, "Oh my god, what do you mean the red box doesn't work?"
I'm like, "Ooh,
okay."
That's a frequently asked question, is it not?
If not the most frequently asked question, honestly.
Yeah.
You know, the red box, it does work. It just doesn't generally work for most people in most areas. The main problem you're looking at is you're not getting a real dial tone when you're picking up that payphone.
Yep.
A simple way to know is when you pick it up, if you blow into it and you hear anything, then you got a dial tone. If you pick it up and you blow into it and nothing happens, you got a recording of a dial tone.
No, that could also be a muted mouthpiece, though.
It can be, yeah. I mean, your mouthpiece, you're not going to be able to, you're not going to be able to red box anyway.
Well, when I get a muted mouthpiece, what I do is I dial the local op, and I only red box to local calls, you know, never long distance, really, anymore. And I just say, you know, it's not accepting my calls. Beep, 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 beep. Thank you for using SBC. And that's really what you got to do sometimes, is go through the local op. Because
yeah,
now it's
called the op, it'll work sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes
it's worked
weird.
Almost every time I've done it, and I hardly ever do it anymore.
I have had Quest be like, all right, we're getting security on the line. I'm like, hold on, isn't that going to be a 50-cent call, too?
Yeah.
Keep putting in my fake money. All right, and then here's the next one that I know we've heard a million times. Why doesn't this blue box work for me? And I know you were talking about blue boxing, so I'm going to let you take that one, Murdoch.
Well, blue boxing went the way of analog and band signaling. With the implementation of electronic switching systems in signaling system 7, SF7, no longer can you whistle into the phone and see the trunk or stack tandems or anything that you could do really cool in the 70s. But, and this is a big but, There is an ILEC, an incumbent local telephone company, and I think it's Minnesota. I know a guy in Minnesota who knows the guy who runs it. The guy's like 30 or something, and it's a step by step, I think. And there's this time number that's non supervised. That, you know, it won't get charged to your phone bill. It's not a supervised number. And you can go 2600, seize it, and then call another number in that same, like on that same switch that'll read you the time and temperature. But it's not, you know, you can't go off to fucking other countries.
Well, that's not blue boxing than most people do anymore.
Right. And Lucky 225 demonstrated this for me at Freaknik 8, right off his laptop with his cellular phone. So yes, you can blue box. It's very limited.
It takes some work.
It takes a lot of time. He had to do it about four or five times for it to work. But yeah, you can blue box. It's very limited. Not worth it.
So there's been a lot of people talking about it a lot in like Southwest California. I don't know where they're doing it there, but I think there's some small just like co-ops that you can still use there.
Yeah, it's what you got to find. You got to find the small telephone companies who still haven't upgraded their shit. You know,
those ones out in the middle of the desert and whatnot might be a target.
Yeah. I mean, but I remember back a couple of years ago, a guy was on the SoCal Loops was blue boxing into Africa, into Gambia, I think it was. And you called this AT&T 8, and it answered with a C5 chirp. Last 2600 sees the trunk. I mean, from there, I kind of forget it's been a while. But I think he successfully blue boxed into Africa. But that's it. You can't. I mean, blue boxing has gone the way of 8-track tapes and fucking Betamaxes.
No, I love 8-track tapes.
I love 8-track tapes, too.
I used to have a car that had an 8-track, like bolted to the bottom of the dashboard.
Yep.
It was awesome. And the radio didn't work, so I just had to listen to 8-tracks, and then went to, like, an antique store and picked them up for, like, $1 a pop, and they were really bad.
Yep, and, but blue boxing's dead.
On track.
Back on track, blue boxing's dead. Don't go pick up your phone and whistle 2600 into the thing, because fucking your local phone company will detect it. And probably put a, like, little flag on your line from the first time you did it or something. I've heard that before.
I've never had...
I mean, I've never tried to whistle 2600 into my phone, so.
Yeah. All right, another one I've got, a lot of questions, just basic, is, you know, where's a good place to learn about freaking? I'm going to say, I'm going to be an ass to you right here. There's this cool place I go to look for my information. You can find it at google.com.
Fuck it, that's so true. Just type in phone freaking, you know. If you want to give out a couple good sites, freaksandgeeks.com.
Yeah, freaksandgeeks.com is good. There's an older one that hasn't been updated in a long time. It's got good information on it. It's called Me, You, and the Telephone Company. It's mytc.cjb.net. Also, you can get South on one of their own sites at interconnection.bellsouth.com.
Oh, yeah, that's a great site. Lots of PDFs up there.
Yeah. One of the great things is just PDFs. Like, put in Nortel and search for PDFs, and you'll find hundreds and hundreds of Nortel manuals.
Doc, yep.
And that's where you want to get your information, from manuals. It's some dude in 1984 wrote an article about something in a text file, and it's like 2 pages. I'm betting most of that information is wrong.
Yeah, but a lot, you know what? If you go back in old text files, a lot of the numbers are still active. Just want to throw that out. A lot of numbers in old text files are still active.
Yeah, yeah. I got lists of scans from like 10 years ago,
yep.
And most of them are, except for a few things, most of them are still pretty good.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I saved them all though. Yeah, that's another thing. If you just want to get into freaking, pick up a phone and scan.
Yeah.
Call one number after another.
Can't
find what's on it.
Can't underestimate exchange scanning. It's fallen out of vogue for a little while, but damn it, it has come back.
Yes, it has. You do want to make sure with your local telco, though, that it's not illegal.
Yeah.
I live in an area where the most they can do is be like, hey, could you not do that? And so far, I live in Quest territory, and Quest's been really cool with me. They've never given me any troubles. They did block my toll one time, but I was able to call up and bitch enough until they took it off. They're like, oh, okay, you know. So I was like, I can't use my dial arounds.
Buddy, what? Oh, I'm just seeing all this, you know, from 2 o'clock until 5 a.m., you're dialing, you know, 1010 ACTO and then every single 800 number and 944.
Like, I'm doing a project on 800 numbers. You know, honestly, Quest is, they're my ISP also. They've never given me any troubles for scanning IP ranges or scanning phone ranges.
Exactly.
And you can't beat that.
There's, I mean, as long as you're, you're doing it by hand, and you're not doing it with a machine, like a war dialer. Don't do it with a war dialer, because they know it's a fucking machine when they're doing it, because it's so quick and so fucking, you know, quick like that. But if you're doing it by hand, and you're doing it, you know, I mean, usually they won't have a problem with it. And you're not harassing anybody, you're not calling anybody back again.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I've gotten calls at 2 o'clock in the morning where it's just to hang up, and I'm like, oh, probably somebody exchange scanning.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And, yeah, usually about 2 o'clock in the morning when I do it.
Yeah.
I was really bored one time, and I was scanning, and I didn't pay attention to the time, and it had gone through the night and gone into the day.
Yeah.
And then I realized every time I called someone, it was ringing, and that people were actually answering.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, wait a minute.
Like, hello? Oh, fuck.
Yeah, what
time?
I realized it was time to sleep.
Yes.
Yeah, I've done that a few times, though.
Let's see. Oh, fuck it, I'm going to pimp out. If you, like... They have the authority, sort of like on Redboxing, a lot of comedy, phonelosers.org. You're not going to find anything useful on that site, just a bunch of prank phone calls and maybe an old, outdated e-zine. And then a forum filled with fucking noobs like me.
I would steer clear of that forum.
Yeah, totally steer clear of that forum.
I'm going to have a bunch of fucking noobs messaging me and shit like, you're a noob!
That's all right, fuck them. It's only the internet.
Yep. All right, well, it's about time to move on to that social engineering part.
Woohoo!
Quiet for a minute, Shada. What do you got for us?
I'm sorry, my freaking knowledge is very limited, so...
As
far as, like, blue boxing and everything, I was like, what are you talking about? So I'm just
gonna, Shada's a noob.
Totally, man. Totally. Anyway, so, as far as social engineering goes today, I was thinking of just giving a few practice tips. So, this is what I do whenever I, like, sit down before I make, like, a new kind of call, new kind of, I don't know what they're called, before I try something new, basically. Typically what I do is I come to my room, I lock the door, I don't have any music on, just so it's quiet and I can sit here and think without any interruptions. Then I get a piece of paper and a pen. Then I'll write down what kind of information I want to get on the first line. And I'm going to come up with at least 2 different methods of getting that. Having more than 2 is a good thing, but, you know, having at least 2 is almost necessary, just in case one of them you screw up on, so you can almost immediately call back and try the other method, instead of having to wait, like, hours for the shift change and then whatever else. Then you're going to want to do is think of any questions or statements you're going to have. Write those down, and then think of the answers that you're gonna, or the responses you're gonna get to that. And a lot of times that'll help you predict how the conversation is going to go, and it'll just let you lead the conversation the way that you want it to go a lot easier. Basically, every time you have something new, like something new you want to try, just rinse and repeat. I can't stress enough, practice, in order to actually social engineer anything, you're going to have to get practice in. If you want to get, like, some big information thing for something you're working on that's hard to get, your first day of social engineering, you're not going to be able to do it, most likely. You're going to want to take a lot of time, do a lot of little stuff, and eventually work your way up to that. That's about it.
One thing I think that people need to really do, they're really worried about getting scared or getting nervous and saying the wrong things.
Yeah.
You kind of got to social yourself into believing it almost. Believe you are who you are. There's
yep.
no reason to be scared.
You gotta break down. You gotta not think about who you are. They don't know who you are. They don't know you're some kid sitting at the end of a telephone. They think you're, you know, Dave from account or Dave from collections, and you want to check on somebody's bill.
You gotta
be that person.
Worst case scenario, you hang up.
Exactly.
So too many people are scared to get asked all the time. Well, how do you do that without getting nervous? It's like, why would I get nervous?
Exactly.
Well, when you first start out, I mean, when I first started socialing, I was pretty nervous, even, you know, just calling up the local McDonald's and be like, hey, you know, I came and ordered and you screwed me over. But, I mean, if you can, in your head, come up with the reason they need to service you, and you can get them to believe that, you have absolutely no reason to be scared of anything. I mean, like you said, you have to be that person, and they have no reason in the world to doubt that you're not, unless, you know, you stumble over your words. And
exactly.
that right there would be the only problem you'll have. Just, like I said, plan it all out before you do it, then run it over in your head a couple times. That'll help get rid of the stumbling, like, almost completely.
And another thing, if you're social engineering on site, like, if you're trying to scam out a McDonald's or, like, a Burger King or something, and they tell you no, like, no, you need to have a receipt, just say fine, and then leave. And then, you know, don't come back for, like, a week or so. And that's, you know, if they ever say, like, no, you can't, you know, you didn't order this, you're like, okay, well, I'll see you later. They just nonchalantly walk out.
No, I think Shada mentioned this before. Doesn't McDonald's have a no-receipt policy or something like that?
Yeah. No.
Yeah, they do, actually. I have a friend who actually works at one, and I got this from him. You can call up, and you can tell him, hey, you know, I came and ordered a Big Mac, and you gave me fish. I'm allergic to fish or something like that, you know? And they don't require a receipt according to company policy. Sometimes the manager will be a bitch about it and be like, no, you have to have a receipt, but according to the actual company policy, you do not need a receipt for that. I'm not saying do this, by the way, as I said last episode.
I've had managers bitch at me for receipts, and I never really pushed the issue because it was always a McDonald's that was local to me, like that I would go to again because, you know, I'm fat, I like McDonald's.
Exactly.
You know, so I've never really pushed the issue, but every McDonald's I've ever gone to, it's been very easy to get a sandwich or, you know, fries. You know, if you're asking for, like, a number four, like, yo, you left out a number four. You know, sometimes they'll buy it, but usually most of the time they won't. So I usually stick to things. I usually stick to them when I actually have no money to buy food.
Yeah, and like you said, if you're going for the whole free food thing, don't go for the most expensive big meal on the menu, you know? I mean, just go for smaller things that are going to fill you up fast. I mean, they are much more likely to give you one thing than, you know, fries, a ice cream, a drink, and a sandwich, you know?
Mm-hmm. And,
I'm hungry.
Yeah, I mean, now I haven't eaten anything in, like, days. Fuck it. I'm starving.
Yep. I just had a brownie, man. It was good.
Oh, scamming Pizza Hut. Very easy.
Oh, yeah.
I did this last weekend with my brother. We got the munchies. We had no money because we spent it all on drugs. So I said, fuck it, I'll scam Pizza Hut for us. He says, don't get us in trouble. I want to order Pizza Hut again. And I said, all right. So I called him and said that they delivered a pizza to my house and that they gave us wrong, they gave us a large pepperoni, and I wanted a large cheese. And I said, okay. And they said, okay, we'll send out another one for free. I said, wonderful, thanks. When will it be here? 45 minutes. 45 minutes came and went. Called them back. Said, hey, where the fuck is my cheese? Where's my large pan? And I said, oh, we sent it to the wrong address. We're going to send you up another one, and it's going to be free. So apparently they forgot. They thought they're going to charge us for that one, but that one was free anyway. So go figure, free pizza. Just say that they delivered the wrong one.
Every Pizza Hut on their cash out thing on the register has something called customer satisfaction. And what that does, it brings the bill down to zero. Every Pizza Hut's allowed a certain amount of customer satisfaction a month. It's in the thousands. They're allowed to give away thousands of free pizzas a month.
Yeah.
If you tell them, if you say that, like, the manager last time told me to just say that it was for customer satisfaction because, you know, you sent me the wrong thing, blah, 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 blah. They'll give you whatever you want, really.
Exactly.
Told to, no matter what. You know, make you happy.
I didn't even know that. I'm going to try that out next week.
Yes, I actually, unfortunately, spent a good amount of my life working for Pizza Hut.
Actually, there has been a little bit of a change there. I don't know when you last worked Pizza, but last time I did was like...
It's been a while.
It was about 6 months ago for me. They do still have that, but you have to get manager permission now.
You have to have the manager permission, but usually the manager didn't care.
Usually the manager has dipshit to begin with.
Most managers are lazy, and they have a 4-digit code they use, and they usually make up a second one just for the employees to know so they don't have to actually go get them out of the office.
Yeah, they've actually also changed that one, too. Like, right before I left Pizza Hut, they changed that. Now, everybody has their own little code.
Oh, nice.
So, you can put yours in now. But I do use this one quite a bit since lately I haven't had a lack of money, but I'm cheap anyway. What you do, you go ahead and call the Pizza Hut, and the employees there get a 20% discount at every single Pizza Hut across the nation. So what you do is you just say, hey, I'm in town visiting, and I work at a Pizza Hut in, I don't know, New York, and they'll give you a 20% discount, no questions asked.
I do that at stores too. At like at JCPenney's, I say I'm a store employee in Eastern Pennsylvania, and I work for the JCPenney's at the Palmer Park Mall in Eastern Pennsylvania. Can I get my employee discount? Sure. Hang on, let me get my manager. Oh, okay, yeah. You know there is no JCPenney's at the Palmer Park Mall in Eastern Pennsylvania. But they don't know that.
Something that works real good in malls is if you work in any place in the mall or on the mall's property, you get a discount at every store there. And do you think they're really going to go and find out if you work at, like, you know, the Hot Topic on the other side of the mall or something, you know, or wherever, you know, like I work at the fucking...
The thing is sometimes they make you show, sometimes ID, but I've never had that happen personally.
I've had a friend ask me stuff like, oh, what's your supervisor's name, this or that, and make stuff up on
Exactly, because they don't know, and by the time they ring up the shit and get your discount, you're fucking out the door into the parking lot and gone.
I've actually even, like set a store that wasn't even in that mall before.
Yeah.
I got away with it.
I realized later on
that store is in the mall across town. But they went for it. They're like, oh, okay. And I got, like, 20% like off an MP3 player at Sam Goody doing that. Which, when you're buying something expensive, 20% is going to save you a lot.
20% is a, you know, a hefty chunk of change.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very nice.
This was before MP3 players were like $30. Now you can go find them fuckers in the ground.
You can find the MP3 graveyards. People are like, fuck this shit. 128 megs? Whip out the window.
Great, well, is that pretty much cover it for your social link?
Yeah.
We turned to the free food thing, but,
yeah.
You know.
Well, you know, people got to eat.
Yeah.
Well, fucking, I know, I do.
My stomach is growling now. All right, well.
You want to talk about urban exploration a little bit more, didn't you?
Yes, I did. All right. Now, it's been told to me that urban exploring is boring. And I can understand why me talking about it would be boring to you, because what does it really matter what I go do? But, fuck it, I'm going to do it anyway. Talking about it in general kind of sucks, but if you find something cool and you want to tell people about it, then I think that's interesting. I like to hear about people's stories. So, I'm going to start off with two things. One is, last time on the show, on our pilot episode, I did a spot on gear that you need, and we had some problems recording, and a bunch of it got cut out. So all I said was flashlight, and you need a lot more than a flashlight usually. Mm-hmm. So, you know, first thing, you want to make sure you're going to wear clothes that you can get dirty, because you're probably going to get dirty. And a flashlight, like I said. Gloves are very important. I would have so many holes and rips in my hands just this week if it weren't for my gloves. My gloves are tore up, but that was my gloves instead of my skin, you know. You're also going to want to make sure you wear thick shoes or boots, because you're going to be walking around glass, you know, broken things, depending on where you go. Like, I go to a lot of abandoned buildings, so there's usually broken out glass and nails around and stuff, and you step on all sorts of nasty stuff. So you want to wear something thick like that. I got a pair of fake $20 combat boots from, like, Payless, you know?
Dude, I am wearing a pair of combat boots from Payless right now.
I probably got the same ones on.
Oh.
All right, well, yeah, those are some of the main things. It really doesn't hurt to have, like, some sort of mask or a respirator, because there's asbestos in a lot of buildings, and that stuff's not any good for you. They are a little costly. You can spend about $40 on a respirator, but it's your life, you know? So if you got the money to shell out, do it. Otherwise, you can get cheap paper ones that go over your face that are disposable. And make sure you put them on right. You want to make sure you have one that has two straps in the back instead of one, because that'll make it actually suck down on your face better. You know, asbestos is microscopic. You don't see it in the air. You have no idea if you're breathing it in. So anything you can do to stop that, that's always good.
Yeah, but dude, you smoke cigarettes, so it really doesn't matter.
Actually, funny story. The other day, I was in a place that we were sure didn't have asbestos. And so it was the first time I'd gone in out of like five times that I didn't wear a mask. And I'm standing there, I decided to light up a cigarette, and I usually don't smoke inside, but this place was, there's like half a wall missing, and it was pretty much outside. So I lit up a cigarette, and I turn around to see an asbestos warning sign while I'm smoking a cigarette. There's blood splattered all over the sign, too. It was crazy. It was just like, whoa, that's kind of like a bad omen.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we left that after a while, and, you know.
Here's the thing with asbestos for me, is that I've been to schools that are kind of old and decrepit, where they're in the process of removing asbestos.
Yeah.
So I figured, I'm walking on asbestos floors, there's fucking asbestos in the fucking, in the walls. You know, what's a little asbestos when I go UV? And I'm not going to go spend $40 on a respirator, but that's just me.
Yeah.
Well, I'm pretty sure most people, the policy on, like, quote-unquote, removing asbestos is basically just covering it up, because I know it's like fibers inside of all the stuff, so it's not going to really get out unless you start moving it around and tearing it up. So I would think this, like right now, I work at a bakery, okay? First of all, if you ever get a chance to work at one, just kill yourself, okay? Literally, kill yourself. But anyway, so there's like asbestos. This is an old thing. This has been around since like the 30s. So there's like the floor had asbestos in it, so they just covered that up with like brick or something, I don't know. Then you've got these big like plastic wall things up at the top that's got asbestos in it. You've got asbestos signs around everywhere. And one of the very first things we learned in orientation was don't mess with this stuff, you know? It'll get out and you'll start breathing it in. If you don't touch it, it won't matter.
Yeah, another question I get a lot is, where should I go urban exploring? Where can I find somewhere to go? It's different where you live. If you live in a big city, just drive around an industrial park or something, ask people even, just be like, hey, you know, is there any abandoned buildings around here? I'm interested in that stuff. And most people will tell you. They might be like, what are you doing? Like, I'm doing a report on it for school or something like that. Doesn't really matter. I mean, who cares? You're never going to see them again. But you can ask about that, like, I go to industrial areas and look for factories. I really like old factories.
Oh, yeah.
There's so much stuff in factories. And you got to be safe in a factory, though. You can get yourself hurt pretty fucking bad in a factory. I went sliding down a chute the other day on accident. A stair broke off, and there was a chute next to the stair. And I ended up sliding down a chute in the dark. Didn't know where it went. And it really wasn't cool at all. But when I got to the bottom, there was nothing there. There was a floor, and that was it. So it worked out, but it was pretty freaky, so make sure you watch out when you go there. But a lot of people tell me, you know, they live in a rural area and they can't find anywhere. I'm down for just exploring in general. I like to explore. It doesn't have to be urban. In rural areas, like around World War II, there was a lot of small, like very small military bases made. And right after World War II, they were all evacuated, but they're still there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You can find those all over America. They're usually every couple hundred miles, there's one. And you usually don't even know it's there unless you ask the locals. But if you can find old maps from, like, the 50s or the 40s, you might find them on there. That's a good way to do that. That and I've found, like, old camp, like, camps, like summer camps, you know?
The cabins.
Yeah, you can pull some, like, old Camp Crystal Lake shit, like, you know, Jason and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I found out there's a Crystal Lake by where I live, and there's an old abandoned camp there. So I want to go do that and, like, go to Camp Crystal Lake. That'll be awesome. Yeah, that or, you know, old farmhouses even, just, you know, there's lots of stuff out in the country that's old.
Oh, yeah.
People
yeah.
don't want to be in the country.
Drive down, if you're ever in Pennsylvania, in eastern Pennsylvania, drive down Route 611 from eastern Pennsylvania down to Philadelphia, and just on the sides of the road, you'll find abandoned houses and buildings that you can just go into and walk around. I mean, that's what how me and my friends pass the time a lot. It's like, hey, let's go down 611 and, you know, fuck around, see what we can find. Route 611 in eastern Pennsylvania, check it out. Awesome.
Pennsylvania has a lot of shit. And you'll be surprised. You'll find a city that looks like it's a little tiny town on the map, and you go in Pennsylvania and you go to it, and it's some thriving metropolis. Like, I was very surprised by Reading, Pennsylvania.
Oh, God.
Spelled as Reading. I thought it was a little tiny town. We go in, and that place was ghetto as all hell.
It is a shithole.
Yeah, it is. You got that exactly right. That's a complete shithole. But I was surprised by the size and, like, the urban mass of it.
Yeah.
That is where the Fifth Avenue candy bar is, though. And the Fifth Avenue sign looks like the candy bar.
Yep.
It's, like, the only cool thing in town.
Oh, and they have
an old abandoned hospital up on top of the hill by, like, some, like Latino ghetto.
I actually know what you're talking about. I'm pretty sure I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's not the nicest neighborhood.
A lot of places where we explore are not the nicest neighborhoods in the world. Yeah. Philadelphia, I've been there a few times for urban exploration, looking for a place called Byberry Mental Asylum, abandoned. And we got lost in a place called Kensington. And if you guys have ever been to Philadelphia, you guys know what Kensington is, and that's ghetto, crack ghetto. And me being a dumbass, hanging out the window of my friend's car, screaming, "We're rich and we're white, come and get us!" Probably not the smartest thing to do when we're lost in Philadelphia. Fuck it.
Yeah, that's probably not the smartest thing to do anywhere, honestly.
No, you're right. But I don't listen to reason, so.
No, we know that, Mr. Noob Man.
Okay. I got a cool urban exploration story, if you mind.
Go for it.
All right, Pico Energy built this nuclear power plant on the banks of the Susquehanna River. I believe it was in South Philadelphia. I'm not sure at this time because I wasn't driving. I didn't know where we were going. But Pico Energy built this huge, you know, cooling towers and everything on the banks of the river so they could throw their wastewater into it, you know? And across the river is this little town called Frick's Lock, and it's a little village of about 20 houses, maybe. And in the 70s, when they were throwing this up, they ordered the people at the village of Frick's Lock to move because Pico Energy was buying it. So all these people were displaced, and Pico Energy bought it, you know, apparently because of the whole Three Mile Island thing. You remember that when the nuclear reactor almost melted down in Pennsylvania and people were freaking out? Well, they displaced everybody, and they didn't do anything with the houses. So, you drive down there, and it's a ghost town, like a 70s ghost town, not like a desert, but there's all these houses, roads, you know, fields, you know, it looks like a neighborhood, except nobody's there, and it was just really cool to walk through at night, all these houses, you go inside them, and nothing's around, nobody around at all, and it was just like a real eerie post-apocalyptic type thing, and I really dug it, and that, you know, that's my story.
I love when you find, like, whole areas, like, towns that are abandoned. Like, I have no idea where it was, some little town in Utah. We're driving through, and we stopped, and there was a bunch of houses and stuff. It wasn't that big of a town, probably 2 or 3 square miles. but there was nobody there. And it was probably from, like, 70s, 80s, but you could tell nobody'd been there. But if you go in the front door of a house, it's completely open, nothing's broken, because people in Utah tend to be respectful, I guess. But, like, I mean, some places there were still, like, pans on the stove from where they'd been cooking dinner or something. It looks like the town just, like, all just ran away one day.
Creepy.
We could not figure out why. And when I asked people later on about the town, they were just like, well, what town? And we'd gone down a bunch of, like, old dirt roads, not gravel, dirt roads.
You know, didn't, like, the same thing kind of happen in Roanoke? Like, everything was just, everybody just gone.
But yeah.
But then again, that was, like, years and years and years. And
1700. That's a great story, though.
Yeah,
that is a Roanoke story.
Yeah, it is. That has been one place I've always wanted to go. Cause
Roanoke?
Yeah, I've always been interested in stuff like that. Oh, if you ever want to read a good story about stuff like that, read the book Phantoms by Dean Koontz. It's kind of based on the Roanoke story. But
movie was hardcore. Ben Affleck, the Bahamut Phantoms.
There was a movie of the book? Or?
Yeah, fucking Ben Affleck. Barney Affleck's in it.
I didn't know that. I'll have to check out. But that book was really good. Probably one of the best fiction books I've ever read.
I agree. Quite a good book.
Yeah. But anyway, sorry. So we're
back for it.
Yeah, I guess kind of has to do with urban exploration. I've never got to do it myself because I moved away from there, but I'm originally from the Seattle area. And one thing a lot of people don't know, it's a tourist area now, but Seattle was built on top of itself. You know, when it first started out, they built the city and everything was exactly at sea level. And when they came out with toilets that flushed, they wouldn't flush. They had to be above sea level. So at first, they put their toilets on the roof. And that didn't work out too well. I mean, imagine, you know, taking a shit on your roof. That'd be fucked up. So they decided to build a city over the city. So in downtown Seattle, around, like, Pioneer Square, there's areas where you can go, and you can go see the underground city. It's really awesome. It's just like an old city that's underneath the city.
And I had a chance to do that, but I didn't. Now I'm kind of pissed.
Yeah, I went on a tour when I was a little kid, when they'd opened it up for a while, and I went, I don't really remember it because I was little, and then they closed it down for years to repair it, but there's still a bunch of parts of it that aren't open to the public, and I guarantee for any of y'all that are out in the Seattle area that you can get down there. There's a lot of gratings when you're walking through Seattle. When you're walking through Seattle, there's a lot of, like, gratings on the walkways and stuff, you know, the ones you walk around because you hear about the guy that fell through it and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm betting if you lift one of those up and go down in there, you'll find a way into one of those.
And Seattle's a cool fucking town. Even if you don't do any Ewing, Seattle's just a cool place to be.
Something our parents used to tell us to scare us from going down there when we were kids, though, is they convinced us that there was a modern group of vampires that lived there, and, like, they killed babies and sucked their blood to stay alive, and they were just, like, gutter punks that turned into vampires. And they're like, you know, vampires aren't real, but these people think they're vampires, so if you go down there, they'll probably kill you and try to drink your blood. And it worked damn well.
Holy shit, dude, your parents are hardcore.
It was like a neighborhood thing. They all decided that they were all going to tell their kids that.
Oh my god.
And we grew up thinking it was real. Like, I was convinced till I was like 12 years old that there was vampires underneath Seattle.
Did you ever go down there?
No.
No,
might be, man. They might be there, man.
Yeah, well, I'm willing to find out now.
Yeah, dude, I'm willing to find out too.
Seriously, if I ever go to Seattle, I'm so gonna have to check that out.
Yeah, right now they have guided tours. Even going on a guided tour would be pretty awesome. Just to see an underground city, that's something that seems, you know, like it's, you know, from a fiction book or a movie. But it's, you know, true. They got the old like the old street lamps and all that.
And that's gotta be badass.
Built the city over it. It's awesome. It's something that, you know, like, I used to walk around downtown and wonder what's under me, you know? It's like a city with a basement.
Oh, Kansas City's kind of like that, because Kansas City has a huge underground network of limestone caves. Berserk, you know Kansas City World of Fun?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's an active underground mine under that. A huge, biggest underground business complex in the world, right under there.
Really?
Called Subtropolis, a group called Hunt Midwest owns it. My dad used to oversee that whole thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and I don't know, it's very secure. I remember that because it's a what's it called, like a World Trade Zone. where multinational, you know, they can trade whatever. But I guess it's called a World Trade Zone, and there's a postal station down there, lots of shipping and manufacturing. If you guys ever get the chance to come to Kansas City and ever get a chance to go around underground there, oh, it's just fucking awesome. Huge fucking place. You get lost in there for hours. But it's like a huge underground mine, underground business complex, and you get farther and farther back, it gets darker and darker, and it gets more like a cave, more like a mine, instead of like, you know, like a parking lot, is what I can compare it to, like when you first go in. But it's very cool, and it's very big, and if you ever get the chance to go into Kansas City, there's a bunch of mines like that, there's a bunch of quarries, a bunch of, you know, caves and stuff that you can go caving and shit in.
That, man, I really want to do that. I used to go down to Kansas City like every week, but now, you know.
I mean, if you ever get down here, I'll take you to some of them. They're awesome.
Yeah, you better. If not, I'll just go walk around myself and find them fuckers.
Yeah, dude. I know exactly. I know exactly where 5 strategically well placed forts are. They're all very fucking cool. All
right. Well, we screwed up the whole order of things, so.
Not a big deal.
Do you have that email?
I was actually about to bring that up. Yeah, okay, this is from our friend Pixel Fiend. Says, hey guys, congrats on your first episode. A little raw, naturally, but that'll improve with experience. The content is good, and you two seem to converse well together. Seems pretty tight. Good job. As far as Internet 2 goes, I reiterate what I said on the BinRev forums. I can't see it happening, at least not in the way it's presented currently. What about how other countries would implement this? How would that affect the way the U.S. would use it? How about foreign proxy servers? Anyhow, good show. I look forward to more. All right, now, as to these questions, right now I'm going to do the best I can to answer them, but on the next episode, there will be a little section. I'm actually, either today or tomorrow, I'm going to call the Internet 2 people, and I have this big list of questions I'm going to ask them. Pixel Fiend, yours will be in there, so you'll get actual official answers from that.
Hopefully, unless they're a bunch of dicks. There's a good chance.
But I'm going to call up, as you gave me the idea, under the pretext of being from some university, I'll probably be like, hey, this is Bob, somebody from Yale. I'm doing a report on the Internet, too. And I love
it. Yeah, that's a great idea.
And hopefully they'll give me the information I want. But as far as, like, what
I'm
I
sure it's
say,
the school that's not involved, because there's, like, 200 universities involved.
201, actually. But,
all right. Sorry, my info is not correct.
But anyway, but as far as what I know about the questions right now, about other countries implementing this, from what I see, it's just a U.S. thing, but I could very well be wrong. How would it affect the way the U.S. would use it? I don't know, same thing, I guess. It's just us, as far as I can see. And foreign proxy servers, I'm really not sure what you mean by that. Like,
well, I think you mean, you know, if they have it, you know, couldn't we just proxy through another country and, you know, screw America's Internet 2 stuff, you know, we don't have to use our social or anything like that.
And,
just
but the thing is,
away for anonymity.
Yeah, in order to connect to the Internet, you're going to have to put your social and everything in. It'll be like a dial-up with the passwords and everything.
What are you saying? That somebody's already connected to it and is offering it via proxy?
Oh,
maybe, is that what he's saying?
Yeah, but I think Shadow's a good point. I think you're going to have to be able to get on it all to be able to, you know, like your ISP, to be able to do that, you're going to have your, you know, info on there.
Unless you get some little, like, pirate provider. And then,
which I'm sure would start up.
Yeah.
I'm very sure it would.
And, I mean, I know many, many people who would take advantage of that in a heartbeat if it did.
If that happened, we would actually really have an underground on the Internet.
Not just, like, the kind of thing that we have now, but, yeah.
An actual underground, you know?
And that would be, and that would unite everybody, everybody who's all like, you know, oh, fuck you guys, you know, flame wars and this and that. No, we'd actually have something to unite against.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. They'd have a cause.
You know, what kind of cause would they have?
Cause.
No, oh, the Patriot Act? Fuck that.
We don't even need to get in that. Yeah, that's one thing. There was a post about this show on the BinRev forums, and a few people mentioned something about make sure you don't get politics involved.
Yeah.
don't worry about that. We're not going to get politics involved. We occasionally might go off on a rant or something that mentions politics, but this show is never, ever going to be about politics.
Yeah. And I hate George Bush. Sorry.
Hey. There's plenty of shows out there that claim to be hacker shows and underground shows that are about the politics of it. I'm not going to name any names, but you guys know which, you know, Jewish nicknamed person in New York doing such things.
Those used to be cool, though.
But yeah, well, too many people have tried to have, you know, the cause. They all have their cause. My cause for this show is that I'm bored as fuck.
Yeah.
And this gives me something to do for like an hour or two a week and, you know, work on it. And, you know, it gives me a way to, I guess, kind of give back to the community in a way. You know, there's some bored people that burn these and they put them on CD and take them to work and listen to them.
I did that with Default Radio.
Yeah, I mean, I spend a lot of time listening to internet radio. I never thought I'd listen to radio on the internet, like, realistically.
Yeah, I know.
But now there's things on the internet radio that I'm actually interested in. Like, I'll be sitting around on a Tuesday, like, damn, why isn't Infonomicon out yet? You know? Or like, you know, oh, man, you know, I'm not going to be home for, you know, the Ben Rev Radio. That's not cool. Oh, man, I'm going to be gone.
Well, I know with politics, what really irked me about the 2600 in politics with their Hope 5 convention, with their Fifth Hope convention, is that a lot of the panels were like, oh, we're talking about hacking, but George Bush sucks. You know, we like this, but George Bush sucks. You know, we're going to push our hardline leftist politics at you with the propaganda theme, which I thought was cool. I liked the propaganda theme, but it was just in your face. Almost every panel you went to had to deal with politics, why hackers and 9/11 are, and why we still screw up. Well, Robert Steele's a fucking amazing, good guy who talks about that kind of thing. He knows what he's talking about. But almost like the pirate radio one was nothing but like pirate radio and why the government wants to stop it and why George Bush sucks. And, you know, there was a select few panels that had nothing to do with politics, had everything to do with, like, freaking, like, hacking CDMA, secure instant messaging, you know, things like that. And then my panel, which was gay, which, you know, the Phone Losers of America panel. And, but
I
didn't
get to go to Hope, but I listened to a lot of the panels. I thought there was stuff where stuff came in, but I thought one of the really good ones was the social engineering one. They stayed on topic very well.
Oh, yeah. Social engineering is a perennial favorite.
Yeah, that, I've only heard this. I've only heard Pope 5 panel on social engineering, but I can say it was excellent.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But the thing is with that is there were, it was just almost all the time, you know, politics with it. It was the politics of it. And I really didn't think, I mean, you know, before it was like, you know, yeah, free Kevin. You know, Kevin's free. He spoke at the con and he, you know, read the first chapter of his book practically, you know, which was cool, you know, and It was just, you know, politics in your face all the time. I mean, I dug it. I loved Hope 5. Best time I've ever had in my life. But it was just the politics.
Didn't even get kicked out.
No. And that's what was cool about it, is that it was just, Freaknik and Hope 5 were just two totally different things. Freaknik was about partying.
Yeah.
I guess. And I didn't go to any panels at all. Like, I can honestly say that I went to about 2 hours of panels. That's it, the entire weekend. And
I don't know, I heard that, since I've never been to Freaknik, I don't know how their panels are, but from what I've heard, it's mostly about just going and hanging out rather than the panel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally about hanging out. And it's cool. And I liked it. I kind of dug it. But Hope 5 just had this whole aura of just real good vibes. Everybody was really cool with each other. We didn't have any cops called, brought in. No major incidents happened because everybody treated each other cool. Everybody was real nice. Everybody had a real thing going on. It was really cool. And, you know, we had parties in Emmanuel's room. There was a huge party on Friday. Over in Brooklyn at the Hacker Halfway House, there was a party. And nothing happened. No major incidents. It was great. And, you know, sadly, I can't say the same for Freaknik 8.
I've heard a lot of people say they're not going to ever go back to Freaknik.
Yeah, so have I.
That, and everybody seems to get sick when they go there.
I got sick, but it probably because I stayed at the truck stop.
Yeah. Which I was nice enough to stay up almost all night and talk with you online.
Oh, I dug that. Thank you.
Hey, no, I got shit else to do.
Neither, dude. I had to stay up. I can't go to sleep in a truck stop with both cops.
Yeah. Well, at least you were in a truck stop that had Wi-Fi.
Oh, yeah, dude. And I mean,
that's embarrassing. That's
Wi-Fi.
Progress right there.
Yeah. Didn't find the wireless router, though, for the life of me. I looked up and down that fucking truck stop.
Speaking of Wi-Fi, I was reading today, I don't know if you all know much about WiMAX. I'm not going to go into detail on it, but it's, like, bigger, badder, better Wi-Fi. That's not quite out yet. But I guess Ericsson today, or yesterday, they invested a whole shitload of money into to try to speed up the process.
Dude, I'm sorry, I missed that.
Yeah, Ericsson invested, like, I guess, ass loads of money to try to make it come up faster.
For a new standard, just what we need. A new fucking standard.
Well, it's, if you really look at it, WiMAX is going to do a lot better than Wi-Fi, and it's going to make it so you can have broadband anywhere. It's not going to just be like a home network. You're going to have one standard WiMAX that covers, you know, 30 to 60 miles.
No way.
75 megabits a second.
Of course, then again, it's going to be like only one provider for each section.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they're trying to replace like cable and DSL with it. But
no,
I wouldn't do that to be able to go anywhere in your town and be able to be online.
Yeah, but then again...
Well, I can do that now. I mean, I just drive around and look.
Yeah. I'm talking about legally.
No, oh.
Yeah, and I'm not talking about going to Starbucks.
No, neither am I.
I live in one of the few cities in America that doesn't have Starbucks.
This is what I'm living in right now.
God bless you. Well, Shady used to live in Seattle, the fucking birthplace of the evil Starbucks.
That was me.
Okay, I was like, no, I didn't.
Yeah, I used to. I remember when Starbucks was new. It was like, oh, wow, there's this new Starbucks place. They seem pretty cool. And like a year later, it's like, whoa, what happened?
I had to drive down to Kansas City to have my first Starbucks.
I was
in Kansas at the time.
I don't know how the hell we got started talking about Starbucks. But
I don't know. Wi-Fi.
All right, well, I think we're getting towards the end here for time, so let's move on to our shouts. I'll go ahead and let you go first, Murdoch.
I'm not going first. I have to think about it.
Somebody got to think about it.
Yeah.
You're like, all right, you just hate me already. All right, I got a few written down here. I'm just kind of going through the motions every week, coming up with new people. It's kind of hard for me to not shout the same people every week. Some people, they just deserve it more than the others. But I want to shout to Agent 5. He's a good freak. He's out there doing his thing. And I haven't seen him around for a while, but he popped back up in the scene, and he looks like he's working hard. So, yeah, definitely shouts to him. Sub-Zero, which you guys probably know from Ben Rav, he's part of the DDP. He's kind of a local boy to me. We live in the same state. And
a very nice guy.
Yeah, very, very nice.
Very nice.
My buddy Zenoside, he's been popping in and out of the scene lately. He's the one that runs that Me, You, and the Telephone Company site. Oh. That is pretty old. The Zenoside's an awesome guy. I also want to,
Wait, what's his name, Zeno?
What?
I think Zeno I met him at Freaknik.
Yeah, you did.
Fuck yeah.
Has he, I think I've seen him on dinner, like, every great now and then.
Yeah, he pops up for like 30 seconds here and there. Yeah, but, he's been a friend forever. He's a great guy. I also wanted to give shouts out to bellsmind.net. I think they're doing a great thing with Freaking. And they need to keep it that way. They got their PDX going, all that stuff. Everything there is going good. I was reading the other day they got past 20,000 stuff updated on there for numbers, various things.
Congratulations, M-Theory.
Yeah, congratulations. Bellsmind.net, check it out if you don't know. And to the freak that everybody knows and loves, Icon. It's my homeboy. He's been kind of disappearing on me a little lately, but definitely got to give him shouts. And then just move on to whichever one of you wants to go next.
You ready?
Yeah, I guess.
Go for it.
Roger 5, fucking known him forever. Awesome guy. Got to get them shots. Him and the mic more, I guess. They're kind of political. He's, whatever, political. Since we were talking about that before. Let's see. Most of the people on the PLA forum, so I know, I guess I'm getting them shots. My pal, El Gordo Uno, who runs the new 100 miles per hour PLA Washington. Rob T. Firefly, my homie who helped me at the Hope 5 with the Phone Losers of America convention. Awesome guy. He's coming out with a radio show as well called Gray Fire, grayfire.net. I don't have shouts out, man. I don't have friends. So just all the people on the DDB, on the VinRev forums, and all the people on Pound PLA, and that's that. So, Shada, on to you.
Alright, first of all, I'd like to shout out to my friend Eater, who I actually want to have as a guest on the show. He's a very smart man when it comes to the mind. Also, I want to shout out Pope Bob, his man, the rest of the NNC, again, and, also the N-Theory, he helped me with some Asterisk stuff that I've been trying to work on lately. Also want to shout out to Zisk Free for hosting my website, which I want to plug, by the way, which is persuasion.info with a 3 instead of an E.
It's a leak site.
Yeah, I guess that's a social engineering site.
Yes.
I think
it's social engineering and all sorts of persuasion. Go figure, you know. So, forums and everything, go post. I've actually got a contest running right now that nobody has even tried to attack.
I came up with a better idea. I mean, not to knock down your idea of the contest, but I came up with a different contest, like, while we were recording.
Feel free.
All right. Instead of making it so other people social stuff, and that's the contest, come up with stuff for us to social.
Oh, great idea.
Challenge us. We need
challenges,
and we need some stuff to do throughout the week. So come up with something that you think would be hard to do, or something like that, some info to get out of somebody, or something like that, and shoot it over to us at our email, which is a... email underfireradio.tk. Shoot that over there, and we'll take a try at it. Try to stump us. You know, we need something hard to do. Sometimes, I don't mean to sound cocky, but sometimes with social engineering, it seems like it gets too easy.
The boy has a point. Unless you actually have, like, a big project going on, I mean, most of the time, it's just little simple stuff.
Yeah, but give us some ideas. You know, if you want to hear something get done or want to figure out how we would do something, shoot it over to us. So we're definitely up to try it out. We're not going to do everything probably, but we'll probably pick one or two things out a week and do it. So yeah, like I said, email at underfireradio.tk.
Oh, I want to thank Berserk and Shada for having me on the show, for taking time, letting me hang out with them. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Are you trying to help me again?
What?
I get in that ass.
No, man, this is just something I'm just happy to do. You know, take, you know, time out of my boring ass day.
Yeah, Murdoch's been all excited about it all week.
Yeah, I'm like, are we recording? Are we recording now? Yes!
Yeah, just so I think you mentioned it before, but Shono, he sits in the recent fold of the payphone.
Yeah, got my door cracked open, I got the fucking receiver in my car, and not so cold anymore. Kind of.
You're blocking the driveway too, aren't you?
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm blocking the drive, and people are kind of inching by my car and just getting me dirty.
And didn't you almost get hit by a DHL truck?
Almost. Yeah. Quite fucking very close call. But I have temperature-sensitive side panels. Very nice. I just punched my car.
All right. Well, I guess we'll probably call it about the end of the show. Leave my contact info here. My email is berserk@underfireradio.tk.
Berserk?
Yeah, berserk. That's B-I-Z-U-R-K-E. Not the other way.
Alright, mine is shada@underfireradio.tk. S-C-H-E-D-A. I think that's the email.
You don't want my name.
Throw me in your mouth. Murdoch?
My email is Murdoch, M-U-R-D-0-C, at 0330.com.
That?
Lots of zeros.
0330.com.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that?
It's a friend of mine's site. He gives me free email because I like the domain.
Fair enough.
Yeah, check it out.
Yeah, so you're going to get a bunch of spam, like, dude, I hate you, dude.
I hope so. Fuck.
Yeah,
better than the spam I already get, man, you know. I want to deposit 10 millions of American dollars into your bank account.
Oh, speaking of spam, I'm trying to get something started up. I'm not sure what it is yet, but if you...
start something up and you don't know what it is.
Hey, leave my ideas alone. if you have any kind of spam you want to sign me up for or whatever, sign up the email spammer.iheart2 spam@gmail.com. Sign that up. I want spam. Send it there. Now. Go
for it. Can I forward you my 419 request to?
Absolutely anything you want.
Awesome. We're going to fill a bunch of that box up, dude. We'll try to fill up Gmail.
Wait, are you, is that what you're trying to do? Fill up Gmail?
Partly, yeah.
Awesome. What a great idea.
You'd be the first one without using it as a fucking file server.
Yeah.
With actual email. I'm only at like 23 megs now, I think, with actual email.
I think
no one emails my Gmail. Like,
I'm pretty sure I'm at 13 megs.
I'm at zero because I have no messages. I just checked it today.
I would check mine. It's fucking broke.
Alright.
Well, I say we're done. It's been good. This is Under Fire Radio. I'm Berserk.
It's Jada.
And I'm Murdoch.
And
we'll see you next week.
And just so you know, this song is Rock the 40 Amps by Leftover Krizak.
Leftover Krizak, bitch!
Yeah, Leftover Krizak. And we're out.
Later.